Hey, folks. This is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are, whatever part of the day you're in. Sure do appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your time and energy and a little piece of your day. I will try and use it wisely. For those of y'all that continue to share the podcast and tell others about it, thank y'all so much. I'm incredibly grateful that y'all continue to come back. Hopefully it adds some tools to your toolbox, as we used to say in the Marine Corps. Hopefully it draws us a little closer back to the truth, back to God and Jesus Christ, and hopefully it helps our country. Even if just an itty bitty bit. Not a lot on the homestead, I'm afraid. I can't tell you how much rain we have gotten. It's unbelievable almost. And I know some places around here have gotten more, and if y'all are in one of those places, across the country, I hope that y'all are safe and not floating away in your house or your car. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love and your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness. Thank you for the people that listen to and share this podcast. Be with them and their families. Guide them, bless them. Protect us, Lord, from evil. Help us to do your will. Help us to seek you and your kingdom and your righteousness first. To love you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. To love our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us our sins, Father. Forgive us our pride and our greed, our vanity, our arrogance, our judgment of others, for following along with this world, our sexual immorality, our lust, laziness, and procrastination, cowardice and unbelief. Help us to overcome them, Father. Be with our leaders. Be with their families. Be with those who protect us and their families. Guide our steps. And guide my words here, Father, please. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Have you read your Bible today? Have you made time to read your Bible? Even if just for a few minutes, folks. Even if all it is listening to our little podcast episode that we do each day for 3 to 5 minutes of Scripture. I mean, you've got 3 to 5 minutes somewhere in your day. Just for a little while, folks, have you made time to pray? Tell God what you're grateful for, which we're going to talk about in just a second. Pray for your friends, your family, your spouse, your country, your kids, your enemies, right? A lot of times we don't like, and I get it, I'm not necessarily a big fan sometimes of praying for my enemies, and sometimes I have the wrong motivation. Maybe this is the wrong motivation, but if you really want to, not to hurt your enemies, but to hinder their ability to hurt you, why wouldn't you pray for them? If you've got somebody that's really truly being unjust to you, right? Like you've got a boss that's just completely unfair, or your spouse is cold and indifferent and couldn't care less about you, or you've got a kid that's just being absolutely belligerent, et cetera, whatever the list. Or you take what we've been talking about, what we talked about on the last podcast, you talk about the Muslims that look like they're everywhere gaining ground, and it's going to either be peacefully, quote unquote, but really forcefully. Why wouldn't you pray for them? Nothing would throw a monkey wrench into the plans of people doing wrong, doing evil, sinning, like praying for them and getting God's attention on them and their attention on God. Just a thought. So carve out a little time, Bible, prayer. Have you made time for your spouse? Right? And I've already forgotten the other thing I was going to say, so I'm going to say this. If you know about the roles and responsibilities for men and women in the Bible, great. If you don't, I would go look them up. And I'm not going to tell you what they are right now because I don't want you to find any bias here, but I made a post online. I've made it multiple times, but I got a comment, kind of a snarky comment, but they weren't being overly rude. When the people start cussing and just making crazy statements, I don't respond to that. I don't have any desire to. But if they're being even remotely civil, and they actually seem like they're interested in having a conversation, I'll often respond to that. And so I put up a simple post, and it had three, and you could change the number, folks. I just picked because you only have a certain number of letters. Three roles for husbands that are clearly defined in the Bible. You can find the scripture super easily, and three roles for wives. That are also super easy to find, clearly defined in the Bible, in Scripture. And I posted both of those and I said, look, if you don't, these aren't difficult on a day-to-day basis. They're real simple. And if it's not, if it's hard for you, that just means that you love yourself basically more than God for sure, and your spouse too. Because it's not hard, folks. It's like reading the Bible. Like you have 5 minutes, which super easy to find that much time to read the Bible, 5 minutes to pray each day. You have time to find to love your spouse in the way that makes them feel loved each day. It's not a matter of don't, except in the rarest of cases. And then there's other problems that we need to talk about, right? So I made this post and I got a little snarky comment back, aimed toward men. And I just asked the question. I said, would you make that same kind of comment toward the women? Because all I did was put roles and responsibilities that are clearly defined in the Bible if you know it. It was real simple. It was just two sentences. They probably weren't even complete sentences. They were just like bullet points. And the response I got was simply, well, I stand by what I said. Okay, great. It's always good to stand by your values, but you didn't really answer the question. So often today, folks, we like to pick and choose what parts of the Bible we want. And that's really true when things start to get real close to our heart, when they really affect us. And marriage is about as effective on you as it can be, right? Like it, if you're married, the state of your marriage is pretty, that's pretty close. And so we like to pick and choose what parts we like to follow. And when somebody starts to tell us, well, this is really what you're supposed to do, if that doesn't fit with our personal desires, we don't like it much. Don't hurt your marriage because of pride or because of selfishness. And maybe you could, if you're a lot smarter than I am, you could tie those two things together. But don't realize that you've been doing it wrong for however long you've been married and be too proud to go to your spouse and say, look, I'm sorry. I've been jacking this up for however long now. and I'm going to fix it. Or be so selfish that you're like, yeah, I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't really like that. So I'm going to keep doing what I want to do and not doing what I'm supposed to do. And there's a lot of reasons why, for yourselves, for your relationship with God. You know, you have no idea as a husband or a wife, if we're not following God's commands, we pray to him about other things. You know, I'm not saying he doesn't hear our prayers, but it might hinder him some. It's like a kid, you know, you're a kid and you go to your parent and you just did something that they told you not to do. And then you ask them for something else and they're like, no, I don't think so. You haven't figured out this part over here yet. So I'm not going to give you something else. Anyway, I belabored that as much and I have no idea. There was something I was going to talk about with reading the Bible each day and making time for it, but my brain has gone away. So, we'll get into it. We got a couple things. I wanted to come back and read you a couple quotes. One's from Thomas Jefferson. A strong body makes the mind strong. As to the species of exercise, I advise the gun. While this gives a moderate exercise to the body, it gives boldness, enterprise, and independence to the mind. Games played with the ball and others of that nature are too violent for the body and stamp no character on the mind. Let your gun, therefore, be the constant companion of your walks. That probably offends a lot of us today that really love sports. And I don't agree with him that it doesn't provide any character. I think that sports often provide a great deal of character, but there is a point of diminishing returns, folks, and we've long since passed that. The point here is, this was a quote, obviously, that is relative, even in a roundabout way, to the Second Amendment and to education. As I was getting out of the Marine Corps, we started to get more and more requirements put on us to have PowerPoint presentations about different subjects. Alcoholism, drug abuse, sexual harassment, even bullying to a certain degree, suicide, depression. And these all sound like noble conversations to have with your Marines. And they are. The problem is the format, bringing all your Marines in and sitting them down in front of a screen and lecturing them is not the way you do it. You do it by forming relationships, by building that cohesiveness, that unit cohesiveness, that family. That's how you take care of your Marines and check on them and see how they're doing. It's just like kids, folks. You can sit down and lecture your kid about whatever topic you want to, but if you're not putting the time in and building those relationships all the rest of the time, they're not going to listen to you. Students in the classroom, it's the same way. If the only time you're giving attention to your kids or students in the classroom, if you're a teacher or your Marines, it's when you're getting on to them about something or telling them something that they need to do better, you don't have any relationship with them. And they're going to sit there and listen to you respectfully, at least in the Marine Corps, most of them will, and the classroom's not so much anymore. Maybe your kids will or won't. But it's just going in one ear and out the other. The second problem is that instead of building those relationships by being out on the range or out in field exercises or working on something in the barracks or in the office with your Marines, working on an actual problem that helped that unit function better, which developed those relationships, which therefore helped you to be able to talk on an individual basis and really learn something about your Marines, about suicide, about alcoholism, about drug abuse, about sexual harassment, or whatever it was that you were concerned about that you would have found out had you developed those relationships. We're sitting in a classroom, staring at a screen, trying not to fall asleep. How is that relevant to Thomas Jefferson's quote on the Second Amendment or about training with his comment to his young nephew, whom he had raised pretty much as his own, about using a gun? In our classrooms today across the nation, we have put so many requirements on our teachers that even if they sound really noble, are a waste of time and really poorly executed at best. We're not developing the relationships and we're not teaching the truth. We don't have the Bible as the center of our framework. You know, so many of these kids would be so much better served today instead of sitting in a classroom learning biology or something else. Learn how a gun works. A lot of the shooting accidents, if you want to talk about that, happen with kids because they're unfamiliar with weapons. Not only, by the by, would it make our government a little less willing to oppress us if they knew that the vast majority of American citizens were trained on how to use a gun and really knew how to use it and were pretty skilled at it. I have a martial arts instructor that I've known for a few years now. And he made that comment. He said, "We get a lot of kids in here that want to learn mixed martial arts because they want to go beat somebody up or something. But the really good schools, the really good, whatever you want to call it, different branches of martial arts have different names for, you know, instructors and academies, etc." But he said the really good ones, they teach moral development, virtue, character, right alongside skills, your punches and kicks and grappling and wrestling and everything else. And so as that kid develops ability in physical violence, they're also developing abilities and moral character. And you have to have that in the school too. And if you did that, if we were developing that moral character along with that ability to execute physical violence, especially in our young men, I would change the entire face of the country. John Quincy Adams wrote a letter concerned about the education to his brother of his son, George Washington Adams, 9-year-old son. "One of the things which I wish to have them taught, and which no man can teach them better than you, is the use and management of firearms. This must undoubtedly be done with great caution, but it is customary among us, particularly when children are under the direction of ladies, to withhold it too much and too long from boys. The accidents which happen among children arose more frequently from their ignorance than from their misuse of weapons which they know to be dangerous. I beg you occasionally from this time to take George out with you in your shooting excursions. Teach him gradually the use of the musket, its construction, and the necessity of prudence in handling it. Let him also learn the use of pistols and exercise him at firing at a mark." I mean, that sums it up pretty well, folks. Better than what I spent the last few minutes saying. But, you know, there's nowhere in the Bible, New Testament or Old, that God forbids us to care for the widow and the orphan, the poor and the needy. In fact, he commands us to take care of them. And sometimes, folks, that means that you have to be able to be violent against evil men and women. So why would we not train our children in something so central to our founding as the Second Amendment, and so useful not only for its main purpose, which is defense against a tyrannical government, but also in developing their character and the ability, really even more importantly, of following God's commands to care for the poor and the needy and the widow and the orphan. That would be a pretty good use of education, of time in the school. God bless y'all. God bless your marriages, your families. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks.